defined by our spirit that God made and our connection to the creator and the universe and our children. And this is the genesis point of the new revolution of information.
I will always believe, and I will always say in public, that Alex Jones is the most extraordinary person I've ever met.
I'll tell you, that f***ing guy is right about a lot of shit.
Alex Jones has been right a lot of times.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
Fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war.
AlexJones.network is tomorrow's news today.
InfoWars can be shut down in just a few weeks. But regardless, the fight continues at AJN Live on X, the Alex Jones Network. If the globalists think they're going to shut us down, they've got another thing coming. The Second American Revolution continues on at AJN Live. Follow me there now for news updates and critical intel as we restore our republic. Epic times, history happening now. Never in my lifetime, or well, I can imagine modern history, has good and evil been so clearly defined and the choice so amazingly crystal clear. Dr. Naomi Wolf is an extremely respected author, former high-level Democrat strategist, but I've been interviewing her for close to two decades. She and I were some of the first people to really warn of the encroaching police state and then the ongoing rotting of the Democratic Party, because back then the Republicans were just as bad, but then now there's a beachhead of populism with Trump. The Democratic Party and the neocons are allied against the American people. World War III is a referendum on the table. And so for the next hour, she joins us via remote. Chase Geiser will be here on the off chance there's any technical things with connections. And he's hosting the fourth hour tonight, always fast moving with the great Chase Geiser then. Massive coverage tomorrow. I'll be on after Owen until 10 o'clock at night. Look for those feeds. We're going to go overnight if needed. Tuesday night, the deep state has telegraphed their plans. Trump came out today and said, look, they're already trying to steal it. The exact quote is, I played it earlier. I mean, this is just absolutely insane. It is all unfolding in front of us. Trump said, they're fighting so hard to steal this damn thing. And people say, oh, don't be negative. No. I mean, look, we have to admit what's going on. So we're in the season of false flags. We have a desperate, dying, corrupt kleptocracy that we're trying to dislodge. The coup's already there. They already appointed Harris. Now they want to extend that out and legitimize it. Pray, too, for peace. Dr. Naomi Wolf takes over now, and she's got a new book out, The Pfizer Papers, and more. She's so gracious to spend our Sunday evening with us. You look amazing. Thank you so much. You have the floor.
Thank you so much, Alex. What an honor to be co-hosting InfoWars, and what a night. I'm sure you've been covering election irregularities. I just want to mention that what seems to be happening across the country is that there are the same kinds of irregularities, meaning cheating, various kinds of cheating that you and I talked about the last time we were together, that, as I mentioned, AI is so good now at manipulating and managing across the country, making it a little different state by state, a little, you know, tweaking here, tweaking there, producing virtually the ballots that are needed to make up for Trump ballots. But what's really interesting to me as a veteran of 2000, when the first kind of modern contested election was sort of launched, and also a citizen, you know, during 2020, is that what's clear is that the same kinds of things are happening as happened in 2020, but people are recording them. People are not intimidated by the mystique around ballots and reporting. They've gotten more used to being citizen journalists. I've been beating the drum that in many states it's legal to photograph your ballot. I think Jack Posobiec has been saying, you know, videotape any irregularities that you see. There are apps. And I interviewed an election integrity activist, Steve Stern, who named some of these apps. They're really good. where you can upload examples of irregularities. So people are being very, very proactive, documenting bad things that are happening with the vote. And so as a result, President Trump, you know, is rightly calling out the way that the cheating is unfolding. He, quote unquote, leaned into the subject of election fraud today in Pennsylvania. But also, it's so fascinating, Alex and audience, to watch the media, the legacy media, try to make this go away. BBC, for instance, has said, oh, there's misinformation and Russian-produced videos. And they do mention some fake videos, you know, that they tracked down. But that doesn't mean there aren't hundreds of real, identifiable, verifiable, entering the news stream, lawsuits underway, examples of cheating out there. So BBC is saying, is really blaming Trump and saying that voter fraud claims flood social media. There's a, quote, whirlwind of misinformation, which sows distrust, as if we are not having distrust due to examples that we see and recognize that have been verified. Hundreds of incidents are leading people to lose faith in the process, says the BBC. NBC notes that 70% of Americans expect Trump to reject the vote if he loses, echoes of 2020. And then let's get into what's actually happening on the ground. In Georgia, as you may have already covered, but just to, you know, chime in myself, in Georgia, there's a lawsuit. The RNC and the Georgia GOP filed a federal lawsuit against county election officials for collecting ballots in person over the weekend. Totally illegal, totally against the processes that they put in place, the official processes. And so, as I mentioned, Trump is complaining of fraud in Pennsylvania. The GOP and the Trump campaign said that buildings were being opened and that that ballots were being accepted improperly. And so there's a fight on in Georgia. The RNC says ballots were received over the weekend and that they must now be separated from the ballots that have kind of been processed or being processed normally so that they can be counted carefully, you know, in the event of litigation going forward. And what's really, really interesting to me, Alex, is that the Harris campaign is, again, trying to poo-poo this. And in that article, the Harris campaign spokesperson said this is, quote unquote, very silly. So the wish of the American people or the citizens of Georgia, let's just take that state, to have their votes be properly submitted, properly accounted for, properly counted, under scrutiny with observers is, quote unquote, very silly. Additionally, there's a statement from the Harris campaign that they feel really good about where things are going. And I think it's really interesting that the head of the Harris campaign stated kind of, you know, what you would call predictive programming, getting us ready for this. She already knows or claims that we're going to need extra time to count the votes. How does she know? It's not even election day, right? How does she know it won't be a totally normal until 2020, or really maybe until 2000, election day in which people stand in line, vote, there are enough voting booths, there are enough staffers, the vote is done, turned in, polls close on election day, and we have a winner. The way it was virtually every election day except 2020, and they're claiming now, you know, of my lifetime in the modern era. So she knows somehow magically through telepathy that they're going to need extra time to count the vote. So that is super nefarious. And I think it's just so interesting that as people document again and again with their phones, like literally they're documenting screens changing from Harris to Trump, and they're using their cell phones. You know, again, I don't want to encourage anyone to break the law. I don't want to get arrested. There's a map on Daily Clout that shows you where it's legal to photograph your ballot or your you know, voting process as you vote. Some states, it's unclear. I would say if it's not illegal, it's legal, because these documents belong to us by law. And in some states, it's not legal, which we can, you know, bring those lawsuits after the election. But you should check. Point is, I think this is having a good impact because it's clear that there's intentions to cheat that citizens are thwarting by being vigilant, documenting, being very sophisticated as citizen journalists, meaning you got to say who, what, where, when, you know, this, what county, what polling place, what time, you know, ideally add your name if you're willing. And by doing this, by creating this transparency, it's clear that there's a fight on the ground, but citizens have a chance of derailing the worst of it. Shall I go on from there? Yeah, I'll continue. Absolutely. So this is I don't know, disturbing still to me, because even if all the votes are quote unquote counted correctly, there are some things that we just can't wish away. I mean, something I want you all to note, and I don't want it to discourage you from going to the polls if you haven't yet. If you haven't yet voted, you know, you've got to get up. You've got to get off your couch. You've got to get to the polls. You've got to vote in person, ideally. You know, bring your friends, bring your neighbors, bring your, you know, knitting group, bring your book club. Go to the polls. You know, it's more important than ever that you physically go. Bring water, you know, bring a folding chair. Jack Posobiec has really good practical advice. You may be standing there for hours, which again is, you know, unheard of most of my life as a voter. But what still worries me a lot is the complicity of, you know, Republicans as well as Democrats in not fixing the situation in advance. Because even if everyone votes and everyone records their, you know, messed up ballot process, everyone turns it in, the bottom line is people really need to understand that the machines can read whatever they want, okay? And I'm just going to take a moment to explain machine reading. Machine reading, okay, when you go to a supermarket and you get 6 oranges and 4 bananas, if there's a human being, the human being has to count 6 oranges and 4 bananas. That's human counting. If you're machine reading, you can have a little barcode on each of those pieces of fruit that identify 7 of them as bananas. And then even if it's 6 oranges and 3 bananas, the machine will scan it as 7 bananas and 2 oranges, okay? And it doesn't matter what the fruit is, right? The machine reads the barcode. So by the same token, you've got to understand that just because you're putting a ballot, a paper ballot into a machine like we do here in the Hudson Valley in New York State, it doesn't mean the machine is going to read what you intended it to read, right? Let me give you an example. We assume, because we've all taken, you know, standardized tests that are read digitally, that when you fill in those little bubbles with a pencil, that's what the machine is going to read. But we've been getting at Daily Clout, we've got a portal where you can upload a photograph of your ballot so that there's a citizen's archive. Well, we've been getting a lot of ballots that have code around the perimeter of the ballot. Now, we don't know what it means. I talked to our developer and he said, unless, and I understand this as a tech CEO, unless you have the algorithm, unless you have the source code, meaning what the machine was told to read, right? You have no idea what this code around the perimeter of the ballot means. So, but it's very possible, it's very easy for the code in the machine to tell the machine to read what's around the perimeter rather than read the bubbles that you filled in with your pencil. And what's around the perimeter could be read this as a Harris vote, right? Or read, you know, 3 Harris votes to 2 Trump votes. We don't know because the code is proprietary in these machines. So this is why I said to Alex Jones the last time I was on the show, we can't know since 2005 who's won the American elections, or really elections in any country where they use machines, because the source code can be told to read anything, right? We don't know. It could literally, it's possible that the code says literally read every four pieces of paper as Harris and every, you know, fifth and sixth piece of paper as Trump. We don't know. And so really it doesn't matter that much what you put into the machine, which is why it's so important for you to photograph your ballot if you possibly can, keep a record of you know, what you voted for in case it is adjudicated. It's evidence. And only when we, you know, after this is all over, pass legislation to get rid of the machines, only have paper ballots, same day voting, in-person voting, no ballot harvesting, only citizens voting, voter ID, public counting, which is the way it used to be in America in the 19th century until the early 20th century. Election day ended with the votes, paper votes being counted on a raised dais in the middle of the town square. Everyone watched, right? That's what we need to bring back. But I'm just alerting you to that because, you know, we have to be vigilant. This is not over. You know, after election day, we have to get rid of these machines, and you really should document your vote. If it's not legal to, you know, do anything with that image of your vote, just keep it, you know, personally as an archive in case there's litigation. All right. So then the other thing I would say, and by the way, I'm not telling you to break the law. All right. I'm not telling you to break the law. The other thing I would say is that it's very clear that the Democrats and the legacy media are trying to demonize the act of questioning the election outcome. And this, to me, again, as someone who was an advisor to Vice President Gore in 2000, that contested election, many of you may be too young to remember, that election was fought over right up to the Supreme Court and not decided till 5 weeks later. And there was all kinds of arguments about, at that time, the paper ballots, the hanging chads, you know, what do we do with the hanging chads, right? Are there enough observers? And it was ultimately decided on a paper thin majority in one state. Well, the reason I bring this up is everything that the Gore team and everything that the Bush Jr. team did from election day on till the vote was decided 5 weeks later would put them in jail today. In other words, retroactively, the act of challenging the vote, making sure every vote is counted, making sure that all the legal processes are gone through, you know, bringing the lawsuits if necessary, going right up court after court, that is not terrorism. That is not criminal behavior. That is how our system is supposed to work. That is how our system is supposed to work. Every vote is supposed to be counted. People are supposed to challenge the outcome if they think that even one vote has not been properly counted. And they're supposed to go right up legally, peacefully, you know, a municipality, you know, precinct, municipality, state, Supreme Court. That is the way it is supposed to be done. And Vice President Gore consulted with his lawyers continually, right, from election day on until the day he conceded after the Supreme Court ruling. And George Bush also consulted with his lawyers. Well, what is President Trump and Steve Bannon and other people who talked about, is the vote, was there fraud? Should we contest the vote? Those conversations have been criminalized. And the DOD directive that says that the military can shoot Americans, I believe that one context in which that's possible is challenging the vote. And right now you can hear the drumbeat of even challenging the vote, even asking, was my vote counted? Or as the candidate, have the votes been properly counted? Let's go through all the legal processes to make sure that every single American's vote was counted. That itself is being criminalized. And they set the stage for that in 2020. Remember, they said Trump's baseless claims. You heard it in the BBC article I quoted to you. You know, Trump is sowing distrust. Trump is sowing distrust. We are supposed to distrust the outcome until every single vote is properly counted, every irregularity is examined, every observer gets to examine every vote, every lawyer gets to look at every possible challenge, every judge gets to rule up all the way to the Supreme Court. That is how our system is supposed to work. So what they're trying to do, the legacy media and the Harris administration, is make us forget our civics classes. And they don't even teach civics anymore. So those of us over 50, they're making us forget our civics classes. Those of us under 50 probably don't even know, you know, that you are supposed to count every vote. You're supposed to challenge every irregularity. That's your civic duty. That's how elections are supposed to be decided, not through a network, not through CNN making a call, not through exit polls, not through someone conceding prematurely. No, they are supposed to count every vote and go through every I'm sorry, I'm so, you know, emotional about this. I'm like repeating myself, but I'm reminding everyone that is our right. And they're trying to say that doing that is an act of subversion or an act of civil provocation, or, you know, they're trying to say that the only way to be a good citizen is to be told who won. And then even if you have millions of questions, or even if you yourself had a bad experience or problematic or unjust experience at the polling places, like the people in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, who couldn't even get in to vote because they closed the polls early, right? Or even if you witnessed yourself the flipping of the person you were trying to vote for to someone else, or even if you saw the misspelling of your candidate, right? You are supposed to sit down and shut up and take it. And that's the only way to not be a domestic terrorist, or that's the only way to be a good citizen. And I'm just here to remind you that that is not true. They're trying to make it true, but it is not true. It's not how our system is supposed to work. Let me go on. I think that what's going to happen is that there's going to be election day tomorrow, right? I think that infiltrators, as on January 6th, are going to create violent scenes or disruption. I fear that there will be bomb threats, for instance, or you know, the power going out. I think that, by the way, already happened in one polling place. The power went out. Remember, I predicted that that would be the case. And, you know, my prediction came true. And there may be certainly very, very, very long lines. At the end of the day, they're going to say, sorry, you know, there just weren't enough staff. There weren't enough resources. I think that there is going to be you know, claims and counterclaims. I think that the Harris camp is going to file a lot of lawsuits. They have hundreds of lawyers at the ready. And Trump also will file lawsuits for irregularities. I have been told by my co-host, Emerald Robinson, who's a very distinguished conservative reporter with a lot of contacts in the Trump campaign, that she is very worried and upset because the RNC and the Trump campaign had time to put hundreds of lawyers in place, had the resources, and didn't put enough lawyers in place. And again, remembering from, you know, 2000, there were dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of lawyers, the best lawyers, positioned in advance in states around the country so that Gore 2000 could fight legally as soon as there were questions about the vote count. I don't know. I don't think, from what Emerald Robinson has been reporting, that's going to be an even match of lawyers. I think that the Democratic lawyers just have more manpower and woman power than the Republican lawyers. That's not necessarily the end of the story, because it's, I'm guessing that the Republican lawyers will have more evidence, you know, and a better case to bring. In other words, I think there's going to be more cheating to silence or disable or erase Republican than Democratic votes, of course. But I think we're not going to know who won tomorrow. And I think it's going to be I hope I'm wrong. Unfortunately, my correctness in predicting these matters is about 90 to 95%. I think we're in for a miserable, horrific, messy few weeks, if not right through the inauguration, what should be the inauguration. I think that Americans are going to be really at each other's throats, metaphorically, I hope, not literally. A lot of hatred and hostility and division as the claims and counterclaims emerge and the battle goes to the courts. I believe that Jamie Raskin is telling the truth when he warns or claims with that smug, satisfied smile that they just won't validate the vote. They just won't confirm the vote. They'll find a loophole that even if President Trump wins, right, by a miracle of people turning out, making it too big to rig, scrutiny of the paper ballots, maybe even the machines doing what they're supposed to do, which I have no faith in, as you know. But if actually there's a Trump win, and right now he looks like he's up in many polls, you know, 1 to 3 percentage points in most of the battleground states. But I really want to warn you that according to political consultants and their wisdom or their toolkit, the margin of error is 4%. So you really need to be above that 4% margin of error before you can be sure that you're winning, right? And for Trump, I'm going to say there's so much cheating. As I've said before, he really has to be up like 7 to 10% to win. But say he wins, I still believe that the Biden administration, the Harris administration, I should say, the Harris campaign, is going to, in cahoots with the Biden administration, is going to deny him victory. They're not going to turn over the keys to the White House. They are going to, you know, as I said, find a loophole. You know, he's a felon, or he's not in his right mind, or, you know, he called for violence. They're spinning it now that he's calling for violence. And honestly, you know, I said this to Alex when I was last on his show, on this show, I do wish President Trump would be more careful with his language, because he did say in Pennsylvania, to get at me, you'd have to shoot through the fake media, which I don't mind. That can be spun as a threat. You know, just as, you know, when Alex and I were last speaking, I wasn't thrilled that he was imagining a scenario in which Liz Cheney gets shot in the face, because the narrative, the goal of the Democrats is going to be to say, look, he's violent, he's a fascist, he's, yes. And that, and they're going to use that to deny him.
So I'm just asking you to keep me in the fight. And we got great t-shirts and incredible blow you away supplements and everything at our great sponsor, yellowstonestore.com. There's a VIP section on there that I noticed was getting really a lot of traction. And because I hadn't really, you know, because other folks own this, other folks that are great run this, the folks at Bigly, great Patriot backers, Total Patriots, J-Sexers, you name it. I didn't realize how good the VIP thing was. So when I saw this the other day, I said, I better talk about this. So if you're a member of the Alex Jones VIP Club at alexjonesstore.com/VIP, or there's just a big link at the top of the page, this is a critical time in our nation. We don't know what the future holds for the operation. The following information I'm about to relay to you is imperative so we can stay in touch, you can get great products, and keep me on the air one way or the other along with the crew. Monthly member credits. Every month, as a VIP member, you get $40 of free store credit. Did you hear what I just said? That's right. It's like money in your pocket for the best products on the planet. So you pay $30 to be a VIP, and then you get $40 free. That's $10 you make. All the Alex Jones products, the best prices. We're talking about 10 to even 40% off the already existing sales. So sometimes becomes lost leaders in the store 24/7, 365 days a year. This is an unbeatable pricing you'll never find anywhere else. Automatic double entries in any of the giveaways, like the awesome turbo diesel super truck, $138,000 value. The winner of the sweepstakes will be announced the 30th this month. You want to win? I know you do. As a VIP, you'll get double entries in every single giveaway. No effort, just double your chances just like that. Exclusive VIP-only giveaways. This is where it gets big, folks. VIP members get entered into their own exclusive giveaways every month. Nobody else is allowed in these. Early access to products, promos, and giveaways. VIP members get first access to new products, promotions, and giveaways before anyone else. You're in the know. Oh, and did I mention orders over $99? Free shipping. We're not letting shipping costs slow you down. It just goes on from there. So, thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Or just at the top of thealexjonesstore.com, you see the VIP button. We're fighting the new world order. I don't have billionaire backers. I am not controlled by anybody but my own soul, my own brain. I'm trying to do the best job I can. Thealexjonesstore.com, it's up to you whether you want to back the number one broadcaster that the enemy hates the most. I mean, they literally hate my guts because they know I'm for real and I can't be bought and I can't be intimidated and I'm wild and I scare them. And I don't know why I'm such a lovable, friendly person, but Satanists and pedophiles do not like me. And that's good because I don't like them either. And look, we've already done irrevocable harm to them. We've already just devastated them. I mean, world government, the New World Orders, everywhere is being talked about. The whole world's turning against them. They're super dangerous as they're throwing the kitchen sink at us to try to keep control. And I just don't think at 50 years old, after 30 years, when I understand things better than I've ever understood, that I should let these criminals, these globalists, run me to ground. So, I don't give up. Vince Lombardi, winners never quit and quitters never win. I mean, I have moral fortitude and will and commitment. I just instinctively can't stand these people. I know they're super dangerous villains. I know they want to break all of our wills and make us super poor to dictate total control over us with a social credit score. And that it's a super high-tech system of slavery. And you look at the globalists, they're the most slithering, disgusting snakes and scum. And are we going to sell out our species like this? I mean, it's just, this is a joke. This is ridiculous. We're changing the world. They want to censor everybody because the globalists are weak.
Decoding the New World Order agenda hidden in the headlines, it's Sunday Night Live with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chase Geyser, your host for the evening. We're going to go back to Naomi Wolf in just a minute or two, and I will be hosting Sunday Night Live as usual, starting at the top of the hour after we hear more from the esteemed, incredible, and impressive Naomi Wolf. But I wanted to come in now for this message because there's nothing more important that I could possibly say to you than what I'm about ready to say. We have 2 days left until this historic election. It's absolutely 100% not hyperbolic to say that it's the most important election in the history of our country. And just like they stole the election in 2020, they're trying to steal the election in 2024. And just like they used the judicial system in a weaponized fashion against Donald Trump and against the election in 2020, and they're certainly going to do in 2024, they've used the weaponization of the Department of Justice in our judicial system, our whole entire judicial branch, against Alex Jones and InfoWars specifically. And so for the sake of this crew and these hosts and free speech itself and humanity itself and the truth being able to be broadcast everywhere, I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP because that is absolutely key, absolutely essential to make sure that Alex Jones will always be on the air, to make sure that this crew can always operate to get the truth out there. We have 9 to 10 days, less than 10 days, until InfoWars is auctioned. We don't know if a friendly buyer is going to buy it and everybody's going to be able to keep their jobs. We don't know if Soros is going to bid through Media Matters and take it. We do not know what's going to happen. We have people coming in the studio this week to crawl through the archives, download stuff to try to sell our intellectual property. It is the last lap over the course of the next 9 to 10 days. So if you've been a listener for 2 days, 2 weeks, or 2 decades, now is the time, if you never have, to go to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP and sign up, because that is how we can ensure that we can fund the next operation or this operation. If this operation stays operational, then great, fine. The VIP club is essential for that. But if this gets shut down in 9 to 10 days, and I honestly don't know what's going to happen, I'm thinking 50-50 here, then that VIP club, the alexjonesstore.com/VIP, is going to be essential to ensure that we can stay on the air the same day with the same crew, broadcasting the same truth in defiance of the New World Order. And it's not a charity thing. I'm not asking you to do this just to help Alex Jones out or the crew. It's not even a selfish thing. It's only selfish to the extent that I want to save humanity from these globalists from the New World Order trying to conglomerate all political power into one world government. But you sign up for $30 a month, you get $40 in store credit. We have new shirts every single day the last couple weeks, it seems like, coming out at thealexjonesstore.com. New supplements all the time, amazing high-quality products. I'm so proud and impressed by the Big League team and their crew and what they've done to help us save this operation and ensure that Alex will always be on there. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP right now and sign up. Naomi Wolf is going to be taking over. She's a globally recognized commentator. Dr. Wolf is the author of 8 best-selling nonfiction books, including NYT bestsellers The End of America and Give Me Liberty, the documentary of The End of America was downloaded 2 million times. Her columns and TV appearances have been in every major news outlet in the West. She's a Rhodes Scholar. Oh, one thing she has in common with Bill Clinton. With a DPhil from Oxford, Dr. Wolf was an informal consultant for the Clinton reelection campaign and formally advised Gore 2000. She is the first American woman whose portrait is hung at Rhodes House, Oxford University. She is co-founder and CEO of DailyClout.io, a news and legislative platform that empowers everyone to pass or stop state and federal bills. DailyClout.io. Follow her at Naomi R. Wolf on X. Naomi, thank you so much for hosting. I pass the torch to you.
Thank you so much. First, let me say I'm so sorry. I knew that there were dramatic events around InfoWars. I didn't realize what's going on in 9 to 10 days. I hope for a really good outcome for you. And I'm just going to second what you just said. People, if you care about free speech and independent media, you've got to support InfoWars and, you know, the handful of other outlets that are not bowing down to censorship in really serious times. So again, what an honor to be here. Well, in this segment, I want to make an appeal to undecideds. I may have said that voting starts tomorrow. It does here in New York State. I don't know where the polls open for you in your state, but we have a day or 2 days for a lot of millions of people probably who don't know yet what they're going to do when they get inside that booth or in that polling place. And I'm a lifelong liberal. I'm a lifelong Democrat. As you heard from my bio, I advised Clinton's reelection campaign and Gore 2000. I was married to a White House speechwriter for the Clintons. I was a fixture on the left, and I came out formally and endorsed President Trump about 5 days ago. It was actually just before Steve Bannon's press conference on the day that he was released from prison, where he had been sent, federal prison in Danbury, for a misdemeanor. And as he pointed out, he's the only person who, to his knowledge, has been in that prison for a misdemeanor. That's the kind of weaponization of the justice system, you know, that we've seen under Biden-Harris. And so I wrote a little bit about why I endorsed Donald Trump after being a lifelong Democrat from a long line of Democrats. Never in a million years thought I would endorse President Trump. But we've got 2 days, and so I want to give any undecideds, any independents, any even liberals out there what my reasons are and why I believe that you can safely vote for President Trump. So first, I want to remind everyone what a vice president is for, okay? And it's amazing to me, you know, that Kamala Harris has managed and legacy media have managed, again, to get us to forget what the job of a vice president is. Kamala Harris has frequently in her campaign distanced herself from some of the worst decisions and most negative actions of the Biden regime. She, you know, acts like she wasn't even in the room during the horrific Afghanistan rollout, which traumatized my veteran husband to even witness. It made him feel like, what's the point of his having risked his life for years to serve his country if that's what they're going to do to our allies and helpers in Afghanistan who risk their lives to help the United States, let alone to our soldiers, the men and women who died or were injured or disabled fighting in Afghanistan. She pretended that she doesn't agree with some of the actions of the Biden administration. Well, the first thing I want to say to you is, and I kind of feel like of all the people in the world who could attest to this, you know, I am one of them. I advised Gore when he was a sitting vice president who was running for the presidency, which is exactly Harris's situation right now. And I can tell you, there is no such thing as deniability for a vice president. It doesn't exist. Why do I say that? Because the vice president has a voice, right? The vice president is part of the decision-making process. It's not like, oh, Biden's over there, Kamala Harris is over there, they really have nothing to do with each other, their offices don't communicate. No, all day, every day, the chief of staff and the staff of the president is communicating with the chief of staff and the staff of the vice president, and vice versa. The vice president's office sees and signs off on or has input into every major speech, every major policy decision, every major foreign policy decision, every major national security decision. They see the intelligence briefings, right? They see the speeches. They sign off on the speeches. If there's something that Kamala Harris didn't agree with, you know, if she didn't agree with the withdrawal from Afghanistan, if she didn't agree with the unconstitutional mandates that I knew would be found unconstitutional, right? Forcing people to take an experimental injection, now a major multi-million dollar win for BART, California transportation workers, against the mandate has been decided. That day was inevitable. She went along with it, right? If she didn't go along with horrific decisions, if she didn't go along with rolling out this injection that sterilized and killed people, if she didn't go along with, you know, the unconstitutional limiting of our freedom of assembly during COVID, right? All she had to do was resign. But there is no way she wasn't part of the decision-making process. That just doesn't happen. But she didn't resign. She didn't resign. And she had evidence of all of these crimes. You know, the Pfizer Papers, which is our book that just came out, documents that POTUS knew, Dr. Fauci knew, Dr. Walensky knew, and the vice president knew, all the evidence of injuries, babies dying in utero, damage to women's menstrual cycles, damage to the hearts of minors, lethal damage, pericarditis, myocarditis, the thousands of serious adverse events. She knew. She didn't resign, and you know, all she had to do was resign and give a press conference if she wasn't on board with any of it. She didn't do that. So I'm just here to tell you there's no such thing as a vice president who is not in the room, you know, during these critical decisions, who doesn't know what's going on, isn't read in, doesn't have a voice about positive and negative things that the president is doing. She does. She was there. She has a voice. And if she wasn't on board with it, she could have resigned. I just want to say that, number one. Number two, what is a vice president for? By far the most serious thing, in, you know, even more than not speaking up or resigning for all of this damage that was inflicted on the American people during the Biden regime. The main thing you've got to understand is that she failed at her only job. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. And this is another example of, like, they're hoping we don't remember civics. Why is there a vice president? Why do we have that system? Why do we have a president and a vice president? I'm just reminding you, and forgive me, those of you who took civics, you know this, but I have to restate it. It's not to get, you know, the white male Southern vote, if you've got a white male Southern vice president. It's not to have a decorative first female vice president, right? It's not window dressing, like, you know, pardoning the Thanksgiving turkey at the White House or the White House egg, you know, roll, Easter egg roll hunt, or, you know, the Christmas tree. It's not symbolic. The only reason we have a vice president is in case the president dies or becomes impaired. That's why we have a vice president. That is the only reason. And that's why only America has a vice president, right? They don't have the same kind of succession backup structure in other countries that don't have our tripartite system of government, the executive, the judicial, and the legislative. So her only job, her only main reason to be in or around the White House is to step in if the president dies, like Lyndon Johnson did when JFK was assassinated. That's our org chart, right? The president dies, vice president becomes president until there's an election, and then there's an election. But also, in case the president becomes impaired, all right? That's when the vice president's job is to say, the president is impaired. We have to have an independent review of the president's impairment. And that's when the vice president initiates stepping in so that the country will be spared the damage of an impaired president. That's her only job, okay? That's her job. Well, I interviewed doctors who specialize in Parkinson's, and they both independently said that the symptoms of Parkinson's disease were evident, apparent, obvious in late 2020 and certainly in early 2021 for President Biden. And my dad had Parkinson's. It's a terrible disease. It's not a disease where it gets worse and then it gets better. It's a disease that only deteriorates over time. You can have some good days. You know, you can have some days where a patient with Parkinson's, like my dad, you could have given him at one point when he was quite far gone, a script and turned on a camera for 5 minutes and cut and edited how he managed that script. And you could have something that looked like a lucid Leonard Wolf, right? But that would have been very deceptive. And people with Parkinson's are not in a position to run a country. Now, I'm not a medical doctor. These are the opinions of two independent doctors, but whether or not President Biden has Parkinson's, he clearly has dementia. And all of us who were observant noted dementia, you know, early to mid 2021. So you've got to process what that means, that the one person whose job is to have the president step aside and resign or be Article 25, I think it's called, when that president is impaired, didn't do it. It's not Nancy Pelosi's job to get the president to step aside. It's not, you know, Congress's job to get the president to step aside. It's not the chief of staff's job to get the president to step aside when the president is impaired. The job belongs to the vice president to step in and run the country when the president is impaired. And no one works as closely, maybe the chief of staff in the White House, but no one works as closely apart from that with the president than does the vice president. So she was in a position to see it and know it, and it was her job to step in when that president was impaired. So she didn't. So I want you to think about, she concealed it, right? She concealed it for 2 years. I want you to think about what that really means. we weren't the only ones who noticed that our president was impaired. Our enemies certainly noticed, and that and they read it correctly as our weakness. It was a is to this day a massive national security risk, right? Vulnerability. President Biden's impairment is why, you know, hundreds of people were taken hostage in Israel and then Gaza was flattened, right? There's no one to step in there and calm the crisis in the Middle East. President Biden's impairment is why the border is open and people are flowing in, changing the nature of our country itself and escalating crime. President Biden's impairment is why our allies like Saudi Arabia are aligning with China and Russia instead of with us. There's no one running the United States of America. Who's running the United States of America right now, right? The president still hasn't stepped aside. What is supposed to happen in our line of succession is the demented president is forced to resign. And whether you like her or not, Kamala Harris was supposed to be president of the United States starting in mid-2021 when President Biden's dementia became undeniable. That didn't happen. So who is most responsible for exposing us to this national security disaster? It's Kamala Harris, because it's her job to step in. All right, so this is not just her failing at her only job, it's also treason. And I'm not threatening anything. I'm a nonviolent person. It's just the fact that treason is a capital offense. That's one thing I want to say when, if you're undecided or unsure whom to vote for, that's the lens you should use in looking at Kamala Harris. She abandoned her only job, and she endangered our entire country and the rest of the world, because everyone suffers when the United States is wounded, which we are through Biden's dementia. Another few things I want to say as a liberal, I still consider myself a classical liberal, are that I believe that you can vote for President Trump because of a few things that I think you can be able to lay to rest his worries. Liberals like me, and especially feminist liberals as I am, tend to be like single or two-issue voters. In other words, we'll put up with the worst candidates in the world as long as they protect abortion rights and address climate change, because we genuinely believe, and I know I'm not speaking to an audience that necessarily has a lot of patience for this, but I'm just sharing, you know, we genuinely believe that without abortion rights, without Roe v. Wade, women will become second-class citizens and you know, serfs in a patriarchal, misogynist kind of theocracy. And we also truly believe that the climate won't survive if people are not serious about tackling climate change. So I just want to tell undecideds, this is the way it's going to be. You're not going to lose Roe v. Wade. You're not going to lose abortion rights, in my considered opinion, because you've already lost Roe v. Wade. In other words, it's gone, right? It got overturned. Now, I would say I'm a pro-choice feminist. I struggle with it. I know it's not ideal, but I'm like most Americans. I want limited access to abortion with lots of restrictions, but I don't want no abortion. And I also don't want what the insane Democrats are pushing for. And I've seen the legislation, you know, abortion up through the eighth month, or even bills I've read that exist that let you neglect a child to death a month after the child is born. Most Americans want, you know, kind of a moderate middle way. Well, we've lost Roe v. Wade, okay? It's in the past. This is actually a gift to Republicans, but Democrats and liberals and independents need to understand this too. In America, it is not the case that post-Roe v. Wade, you can't get an abortion under any circumstances. If you still believe in abortion, you still want an abortion, you can get an abortion in America. You have to travel. You may have to travel. And I just feel like, as serious as a decision it is to have an abortion, that's not an undue burden. Also, I believe that it's right that the decision went back to the states. I don't think it was right to have a federal decision about it through the Supreme Court. And in the states, women are the majority of voters in every state. So if the women of Massachusetts want to change the law to, you know, make abortion more accessible, they can do that. If the women of Alabama want to change the law to make abortion less accessible or more of a pro-life state, they can do that. And I really think you've got to recognize that the Democrats, that's their last card. And they're saying, you'll lose abortion rights. Well, Roe v. Wade went away and you didn't lose the ability to still terminate a pregnancy in the United States of America. I know a lot of people in this audience may not think that's a good thing, and we can continue to have those fights peacefully. But to liberals and independents, I really think you should lay to rest that canard. And also, President Trump has signaled that he's going to take a moderate path on that issue. Having Melania say that she's pro-choice is exactly what George Bush Jr. did in sending his wife out to say that she was pro-choice. It's a way to signal to the base, you know, I'm still going to try to respect a pro-life position, not be insane in kind of propagating abortion on demand, but also signaling a moderate approach to the issue. Climate change, all right? As I mentioned, liberals are insanely attached to climate change. And arguably, it's not unreasonable if you really believe the world will end if the president doesn't tackle climate change, you will accept any lunatic and monster as long as they deal with climate change, because there won't be a future otherwise, you truly believe. Now, whether or not you think climate change is real or a hoax, it has been off-putting, to say the least, to liberals and independents that President Trump has referred to it as a hoax. That sounds not well-informed. So I'm incredibly happy that RFK Jr. and his world has joined forces with President Trump. RFK Jr. is a great environmentalist. He saved the Hudson River. He turned it from a dead river to one where you can fish and swim. He understands climate issues, but he also understands other ways to have like a conservative version of an environmental policy, whether it's making cities more walkable or, which everyone wants, it's nonpartisan, or making, you know, agriculture more sustainable, helping farmers, you know, have more organic crops, whether it's having a mix of fossil fuels and alternative fuels. He knows the right people to have a sane environmental policy. And I'm glad to see that President Trump, while he doesn't, you know, embrace climate change as an issue, is talking about clean air and clean water. So those are the points I want to make. And lastly, I think President Trump is really signaling that he's not going to have a theocracy. He's talking about unity, people of all races, creeds, religions. That's a really welcome change. He's being more inclusive in his language. And so all those are the reasons I think you should put your...
A new extremely important product is now available exclusively at the alexjonesstore.com, Ultimate Probiotic. This is a private label, but even made stronger, of one of the top, highly recommended, highly rated brands out there today. And it's more than just a probiotic. It's got a whole bunch of known natural ingredients that boost your overall gut health and that detoxify and that helps flush out all the garbage in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the attacks on our bodies, you have to understand that the gut is the front line. And if you don't have a strong gut, it's like not having a front door on your house or an engine in your car. The gut is so important. Probiotics are amazing and are documented for their great effects. Get this high quality probiotic right now, Ultimate Probiotic, 60 billion at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you for your support. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I thank you for your support.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, and he had that dark MAGA hat on, I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexjonesstore.com. But I personally like this one, Murdered Out. It fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like Murdered Out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and t-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexjonesstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these.
Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again Murdered Out, and we've got the Save the Frogs over 50 designs, all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it keeps us on air, and it spreads the word. Please go to alexjonesstore.com and get your Patriot gear.